Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Counting down to the Redskins and the Bengals. Last chance to see the starters before they're doing it for real against the Philadelphia Eagles. Grant and Danny, welcoming you back. 106.7 The Fan. What do you want to see on Sunday? What's your number one storyline?
For me, it's running the football. And I normally think this is just one of the silliest things that people do. It's just one of those old parroted phrases about running the ball, stopping the run. I watched the Patriots throw the ball or run the ball two times in an AFC title game years ago. They didn't care. They rolled. Do what's effective. I care about effectiveness. That said, the Redskins have been ineffective running the football. They've been ineffective for years under Jay Gruden. His entire offensive career at the NFL level has been ineffective running the football. It's now to the point where it's not just ineffective. It's a disaster. They are 2nd and 11, 2nd and 10, or worse, starting off every single drive. Just be okay at the stretch, because okay would be a vast improvement from disaster-filled. Be good. No, not even that. Be fine running the ball. Just do that.
Phil Taylor, 6'3", 343 pounds, is a big reason why, at one point in time, teams struggled to run the ball, like the Redskins, who you were just talking about not being able to run the ball, haven't been able to. He was the kind of guy that would make their life difficult when he was in Cleveland, going back to 2012, 2013. He did not play in the NFL in 2015. He did not play in the NFL in 2016. He is now back and healthy, and through two preseason games has looked pretty good. He had a big sack on a nice move one-on-one in the middle of the formation as a nose tackle against Green Bay. Phil Taylor might be a strong showing away this Sunday from winning the nose tackle job, whatever that's worth, and from being a key part of this rotation. He came into camp as a hopeful, right? He was a guy competing for a roster spot. He probably had the upside that you liked the most just because at one point in time he was drafted in the first round. Because he weighs 340 pounds, he's tough to move. Because as a local guy, he has long admired and liked the Washington Redskins and had a chance to one last opportunity in the league to kind of prove I'm worthy of what Cleveland once thought of me, what Denver once thought of me.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of that's coming to fruition. Doesn't always happen here, but we're seeing some of that. And right now, this moment, Danny, when you look at that defense and you think nose tackle, it's him or it's A.J. Francis or it's Joey Embu, I think Phil Taylor's kind of running away with that competition.
He's emerged, hasn't he, as the guy? I mean, again, he's shown well, flashed a couple different times. And usually you don't see that with the nose tackle spot. It's almost like an umpire in baseball. You know, you only want to, you know, not notice them because you notice them when something bad happens up the middle of the defense or when an umpire picks a fight or whatever. You know what I mean? You want to not see them. You want them to take on those double teams, let everybody else, the Zach Browns of the world, fly to the football. So the fact that he was in the backfield a couple times bodes really well. I don't know if he holds up for a whole season. I hope so. I hope this is a portent of things to come and not just, hey, a starburst kind of early on before he sort of fades into Bolivian, as Mike Tyson once said.
There's a way better chance of that than that he's a great player for 16 games.
Yeah, I hope it's a thing. I hope he is a bona fide starting nose tackle, because what they've done is done this sort of by committee where everybody has to come in and take the charge. Everyone's got to just deal with a couple blockers, do grunt work that isn't any fun, and then they let you go play back on the outside again. They sort of have this rotating cast. If you've got a real one, that's an asset.
Jay in D.C.
Hey,
what's up, Chad?
I just want the best players to play, and that doesn't include Ryan Grant. I just want the best players, and I feel like I got five defensive linemen that I've loved, and they don't include McGee and McClain, and I just don't want those guys to start just because we paid them. That's all I want. I want Phil Taylor has worked hard enough to make the team. Mabu has as well, and
yeah,
I think
he actually had a good game last week. Had a TFL and a sack.
Yeah, and he's like flat for a guy that's like 340 pounds. He's like running and jumping and flying around the field.
Yeah.
And I don't see that from the other two guys. And it's just going to be a numbers game. It's like, if you keep those two, you end up having seven or eight.
Well, who are the other ones you like? Are you going Allen, Hood, and Lanier?
I love Hood. I love Allen, Hood, Phil Taylor, my first round defensive line. And I like Lanier and Ioannidis. Ioannidis is years away from where he was last year. Those are my top five. And then it's Mabu, and then it's those two guys.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I mean, they're both going to make the roster. That goes without saying. You don't sign Stacy McGee and Terrell McClain and bring him in here and not have him on your roster. The question is, how many defensive linemen are you going to keep? Because it's a position where you're using three at a time often, and they're going to use four and five and goal line, and they'll get on the field. But for the most part, when it's a three-man front instead of a four-man front, sometimes you keep one less lineman because you keep one more linebacker. You've got two outside, two inside on the field in nickel and in base, which is probably about a third of the time. But a lot of times you might keep, it's easily eight, maybe a ninth linebacker, which means one less defensive lineman. I'll bet you they keep six D linemen. Sometimes you'd see them keep seven, but it's probably six. So that means Hood, Taylor, McGee, Jonathan Allen would be four, Terrell McClain would be five, and then you're debating between Ioannidis, Embu, and Lanier as like the sixth guy.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I would rather keep two of those guys and not risk losing one. So I would keep Ioannidis and Lanier and maybe Embu's the guy out, but I don't want to lose him either. I just think you could probably get him on the practice squad again.
You could probably sneak him on there if I had to bet on it, just given how this preseason has gone.
You could also try to get Ioannidis on the practice squad. The problem is, as a draft pick, I'm not sure if you'd be able to.
And especially given the improvements, somebody's going to be tantalized by it. Because, again, he's a rotational piece on a defense.
They but do some decent depth there.
Yeah, because it's that, like, a college program that's got two or three quarterbacks means you don't have one. You don't really have standouts yet. You've got guys that I think will be. I mean, I'm looking at Jonathan Allen one day. It takes defensive linemen maybe a year or two sometimes to really blossom into superstars. I think he will be a stud.
When's the last time the Redskins had a dominant defensive lineman? I mean, a down defensive lineman that was dominant, not a linebacker, you know, standing at the line of scrimmage like LeVar with 11 sacks. Mark O. Coleman in 99. You remember Mark O. Coleman?
Yeah, the defensive end. Showed up, had double-digit sacks.
He had 11 plus sacks that year. I mean, as a defensive end, he had a great pass rushing year.
I mean, he individual years, guys like Daryl Gardner showed up and were unbelievable. Yeah. But you got to go. Sean Gilbert was great.
Like an Aaron Donald type. You know, when is the last time they had a guy that just ate your lunch and all week, like Fletcher Cox with the Eagles, who's not considered like J.J. Watt, but you just know all week, if I'm Chase Roullier making my first start against Philly in week one, oh my goodness, Fletcher Cox is on the other side. When's the last time the Redskins had that?
I'm racking my brain thinking. I mean, great defensive ends in history, the Manley situation, but I couldn't
you go back to them maybe?
It's got to be. It's something like a Dave Butts. Those kind of guys right there in
that's
the middle.
Crazy.
Yeah, it's been a long time since they've had somebody good right on that defensive front. And that's long been my point, is that they have neglected that part of the thing and just
band-aided. Well, they haven't drafted one of those guys since Kennard Lang in 96.
They have put band-aid, after misfit, after success in a different system. We'll ask them to do something different here. Everybody from Albert Haynesworth to Jason Hatcher to whatever else, they just don't see the value in it. And that's across multiple regimes, and it's driven me crazy.
Yeah, me too, because it is one of the most important positions on the field, especially in today's NFL, because pressure that comes from the middle forces quarterbacks out of the pocket and onto the move, and it ruins plays. And if quarterbacks stand flat-footed and statuesque with cinder blocks for feet, it is easier for them to move the football and to find guys than it's ever been before, because you can't hold wide receivers, you can't beat them up at the line of scrimmage, they just run free.
I mean, maybe I'm botching it, pulling Dave Butts, but you got to go back to the late 80s. When the Redskins had a really good
defensive
lineman.
That's one of the names I was thinking of. I was thinking about like the Super Bowl years where it was Mann and Manley and those guys. I don't think they've had a great defensive lineman since then.
They've had individual years. Again, as I mentioned.
Before, during Grant. Daryl Grant.
After. I mean, Daryl Grant was terrific for a few years.
Yeah.
I mean, they've had individual years. Like, again, Gilbert came and was great. Daryl Gardner came and was great. But this wasn't like a sustained long-term solve. This wasn't we drafted a dominant defensive tackle and he kicked butt for 7 years. That has not happened.
You know who had a good year
forever
for them? And I don't know that he was ever the player they thought he was going to be, because Dana Stubblefield was a huge bust. But Dan Wilkinson had a pretty good couple seasons.
He had a
for
short
them.
Thing. Dana Stubblefield loved to touch a quarterback after he was already down and then put his finger in the air hoping for a half sack.
Big Daddy Dan Wilkinson.
He was pretty good.
And they spent a bunch of money on him. Him and Stubblefield came in, and that was supposed to have fixed their defense. Remember, those guys side by side as D tackles. Yeah. That was the most exciting offseason they'd ever had up until Snyder spent $100 million in 2000. That was going into that late 90s season when Stubblefield was a defensive player of the year. We'll go around the NFL. A lot to get into, including what LeSean McCoy said about Colin Kaepernick resonated with a lot of players. And also, Danny, want to get your thoughts on the quarterback situation in Jacksonville. Why is it that they have still not named a starter? They may go into the fourth preseason game without naming a number one.
They're being kind of weird about it.
Pick a guy. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Hey, guys, Grant Paulson from my buddy Jerry Mannix and Mannix Heating and Cooling, the team at Mannix Heating and Cooling. True pros in all aspects of their game. They are clean and respectful in your home. I know this because they were at my dad's house. Their product knowledge is second to none, and the product that they used in my dad's house that has changed his home forever is Mitsubishi Electric Heating and Cooling System. This is amazing. My dad's sunroom, all glass windows, extremely uncomfortable. I've always hated sitting in the summer out there because you're just hot. Not anymore. Not after Jerry Mannix and his team fixed the problem we have long had. It took them a couple of hours, by the way. Mitsubishi Electric's advanced technology gives you...
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.